The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After Jesus had spoken these words to his disciples, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you have gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I'm asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. Seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This past Thursday was the Feast of the Ascension, which has unfortunately become a forgotten festival in the life of the church, but very much an essential one in the life of the church. It is an event that we proclaim in the Creed. He ascended into heaven. And while that might sound like something that happened immediately after the resurrection, the ascension takes place 40 days after the resurrection, which is why it's always on a Thursday. And the core doctrinal principle of the ascension is that something of earth has now gone up to heaven. That at Christmas, the feast of the incarnation, something of heaven has come down to earth, took on our flesh. And now at the ascension, something of earth, that resurrected body of Christ has gone to heaven. So in Christ, heaven and earth are now joined together, which is not how I think many Christians see the world. Many Christians still see heaven on a linear line as something that we're marching towards, a destination. But in Christ, we're already in heaven, as we are still on earth. It's one of the reasons why you hear me say often that we are heaven and earth people, because in Christ, we're living in both those realms. But on this seventh Sunday of Easter,
We find ourselves in the in-between time of the Ascension and Pentecost, these two big festivals in the life of the church. And our first lesson, you probably noticed, tells the story of Christ's ascension in Acts of the Apostles. Glenn Munson says that while the apostles are all named here, what if we gave them titles as well? What if we gave them titles that points to their shortcomings? They must feel right now, as Jesus ascended into heaven, how are they going to navigate without their compass? If we think of Simon as Simon the Zealot, Peter the betrayer, Philip the skeptic, Thomas the doubter, in other words, do we let our inabilities, do we let our shortcomings prevent us from moving forward and following the way of Jesus? Are we going to let ourselves be defined by our shame? Or are we going to be transformed by God's love? Now, in our world, there is a seduction of power, that even with noble intentions, we think that if we just had enough power, all the good that we could do in the world. Don't you fantasize about that sometimes, right? If I had all this power, if I had so much money, what I would do? You'd make the world a better place. Yet, I would argue that in our broken selves, it would almost certainly result in ways that would be self-serving. And I wonder what the apostles thought, knowing their own shortcomings, knowing their own failures, as they hear that they will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Can we handle all this power that we have from God? Do we ask ourselves that question? Can we handle that power that we have from God? Do we use the power that comes from God in good ways? In the way our Lord uses them to lift up the lowly, to minister to the suffering? Or are we poor stewards of what God has entrusted to us? Are our heads stuck in the clouds, so to speak, looking to the heavens to fix the problems that we are the cause of as a broken humanity in many ways? We fail to see God at work in the world. We fail to see the power of God among us and in us. We are trapped in our fear and shame, and we end up getting lost in despair and anger, failing to hear and see God who is among us. But notice where everybody following the ascension go. Then they return to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. They go back to the upper room where they celebrated the Last Supper. Churches consumed with sustaining themselves over the years have pondered ways to attract people. Some have sought to entertain, and maybe again with pure intentions, that if we just get people in the door, they would hear the gospel. But those tactics can take on a life of their own, and the gospel can get lost in all that. In a thirst for power and relevance, we want to put ourselves in the driver's seat, and what we end up doing is we're inviting people to worship what we are doing, and not enabling this for people to see what God is doing in church and world. In times of fear, times of shame and despair, we should invite people to be fed with the word and sacrament, as those that saw the ascension went back to the upper room. Sadly, it's something that I believe even American Lutherans need to be reminded of, because we've all been swept up with the thirst of needing to be relevant, to place to have our power and influence in society once again. And when we're seduced by that idol, we easily lose our way. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to be witnesses to what God is doing in the church and the world. Christ is lifted on the cross. Christ is lifted from the bonds of death. And at the ascension, Christ is lifted once again. The good news is that we are joined to Christ. We are lifted with Christ. And even though as people on earth, we will continue to be distracted, even succumb to the things that move us away from following the way of Jesus, from seeing God at work in our midst, but as heaven people, we receive forgiveness and mercy. We're lifted up from our moments of despair and shame. And then we realize we're not just saved from something, we're saved for something. To be witnesses to God's work and love in this world. The power of the Holy Spirit takes the burden off our shoulders because we're reminded that God is not calling the qualified, God is qualifying the called. Now, there are some Christians in our society that want to make the Christian witness about us versus them. There are calls for violence, even if that violence is grounded in spiritual language, it contains violent imagery. Then there's that power, that thirst for power of this world that they call people to bear witness to. The kingdoms of the world become what they want to be in control of. And they reduce the witness to a political call, to nationalism. But the church is called to bear witness to God's loving, healing, and abiding presence in this world. We speak of God's unifying love, not us versus them, but a love that draws people together. A God that desires to draw all people to God's self, not a message of fear and division. Notice in that upper room, Mary, the mother of our Lord, is there with them in Acts of the Apostles. So we're reminded in that imagery of the birth of Christ as we anticipate the birth of the church. We see a continuity of God's love that bears witness to a church that seeks to welcome all people. Now, the ascension parallels the transfiguration. If you recall, the transfiguration is when Jesus brings some disciples up to the mountain and Moses and Elijah appear. Jesus is transfigured. Notice that in the event of the ascension, there are two men there. I wonder if that's Moses and Elijah. And then in Luke's gospel, there are also two men at the tomb. They're not called angels. They're two men, right? They're not named Moses and Elijah, but I wonder that. But both events, the transfiguration and the ascension, are mountaintop experience. What happens following the transfiguration? Jesus' ministry is then oriented towards healing. So as the Spirit continues to gather us around this mountaintop experience of word and sacrament, when we receive that forgiveness and mercy and fed with God's love and abiding presence and go out into the world as ones lifted up by Jesus, as ones joined to Jesus to bear witness to God's healing and abiding presence in the world now, we become a healing force for the world. The good news that we receive in our lessons today is that we also don't do this alone. The theme of community is most certainly a feature in all of this. So as the church we gather, God lifts us up, sends us out, and we bear witness to that love and word and deed. Because the kingdom is now, and we offer glimpses of that kingdom that is here and that is to come. I've said this to church council. We don't give people hell. We give them heaven, right? We don't go out and give them hell. We give them heaven. What do we hear in Acts? But you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. Cardington, Marion, and Morrill County, and even beyond that, are parts of the ends of the earth that we have been planted and commissioned to bear witness to God's love and to God's work in the church and the world today. We are called to orient ourselves always to the crucified and living God among us and to bear witness to that love that is not just for one people but for all people, not just for one nation but all nations, a love that calls us to be devoted in lifting up our neighbor, in lifting up the other, and to be always focused on the love of Jesus, a God who is always with us, who promises to love us forever. And in him, we are heaven and earth people. In him, we rejoice in the good news that eternal life is now. It is today, and it is forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.